In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. There is a dark side to Christianity we often don't like to talk about. Not talking about news of hypocrisy or misuse of religion by followers. Those are things that are part of our broken human nature. This dark side I'm talking about is the idea of divine judgment, of endings, of reckoning. This musical piece we are listening to is called the Dies Irae. It was a medieval Latin hymn from the 13th century. The text of the first line is translated, "Day of wrath and doom impending. David's word with Sybil's blending. Heaven and earth in ashes ending." This hymn was used liturgically for centuries as a sequence hymn for funerals and requiems. The text has been set to countless musical settings. The words themselves come from the prophet Zephaniah, this very dark reading that we heard today. The prophet Zephaniah says, "That day will be a day of wrath, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet blast and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the lofty battlements." The dark tone of this reading and the dark tone of the hymn is a reminder of the shortness of life and the importance of focusing our lives on Christ. Now, this idea of divine judgment has fallen out of popularity in Christianity in the last several centuries. And there are several reasons for this. Now, first of all, when we think of divine judgment, it can be disconcerting. We hear in the gospel reading, outer darkness, wailing and gnashing of teeth. And it's not obviously joyful, and therefore, it makes us uncomfortable. Now, the second reason that this has fallen out of popularity is the idea is not well understood. It brushes up against our theology of an all-loving and all-forgiving God. And thirdly, and I think more, most importantly, this idea has been distorted by charlatans and street preachers for centuries, giving us a bad taste of what judgment can mean. But it wasn't always this way. The idea of divine judgment was, for most of Christian and even Jewish history preceding that, quite a popular idea. It was a popular theme for our ancestors of faith. Now, this was not because the people of the church then wanted to manipulate their followers. This wasn't a scared straight thing with the scary thoughts of hell and all those sorts of ideas. Now, if you try to scare somebody into faith, you're not going to produce a genuine faith. It's going to be a self-serving faith based on preservation. Our forebears were smart enough to know that just as well as we do. But if you were to go back 1,000 years, the idea of God's judgment in the Middle Ages was not seen as a negative. Life was hard for early Christians. There were constant challenges. If you go back to the earliest centuries of our faith, people were living in fear of persecution. They knew that they were God's people, but they were longing for justice. And they were wanting their suffering to have meaning, and they were wanting their oppressors to be disempowered. And now we think about divine judgment in that sense, it's going to take on a very different sense. Now, this theme of judgment carried into the Middle Ages. As Rome fell in the 400s, the West fell into chaos. Tribes invaded from the north. There was constant warring, disease, corruption, and people lived short, difficult lives. And like their ancestors, the people of the Middle Ages were longing for God to put things right. They were longing for an end to the evil that infected their lives and separated them, and they were longing for God to separate them from those who would do them harm. But this message of divine judgment began over the last few centuries to take on a different meaning. It became twisted out of what it was originally intended to do. It was turned from an idea that God would ultimately set things right and judge the evil and protect the good, and it became a scare tactic. It was wrongly used to control those who would dedicate their lives to Christ, tearing down the very ones that judgment was supposed to protect. Now, St. Paul tells the early Christians in 1 Thessalonians, "For you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say there is peace and security, then suddenly destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape." Now, St. Paul was writing this about those who would oppress Christ by tormenting Christ's followers. And then Paul follows it up by telling those early Christians directly to them. He says, "But you, beloved, are not in darkness, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of night or darkness." These readings are very reflective of this parable of the talents that was in the gospel reading today. Because you have two servants who entered Christ's judgment with joy, looking at it as something that would be of great benefit to all and great benefit to their master. And you had one who entered it with fear. And the one who entered Christ's judgment with fear was the one who was scolded. But it was those who entered, who looked at Christ's judgment and embraced it with joy. It is for those that Jesus says, "Well done, good and faithful servant, to you has been given much." The Bible gives us reassurance that as followers of Christ, God will be on our side. And we are not to be like that servant who lives with fear. But we are to take consolation in the judgment of Christ, in the same way that we would with a human judge who dispenses justice to those who do wrong, thereby protecting victims from villainy. When we look at the case of Christ, looking at humanity, it is not just black and white labeling one person as good and the other person as evil on a daily basis. It is that human beings are far more complex than that. It is often said we are not the worst things that we have done. We are a species that is redeemed by the saving grace of Christ, but still struggle with evil on a daily basis. It is that evil that tempts us to do wrong. It is that evil that puts us through difficulty and strife. And then we can look to Christ's judgment. Christ's judgment that is a chasm that Christ placed between what is good and what is evil. Now, it does, in fact, call us to examine our lives as well. It does call us to reflect where we might have been instruments of chaos and not peace. But more importantly, it pulls us away from the evil that will torment our lives. This is the hope that we are given in a loving God who would put himself on the line for our sake. It is part of Christ's saving work that exists for our benefit. And this was a message that was relevant to people living millennia ago, 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, even in the time of the prophet Zephaniah, 3,000 years ago. And it is still a message that is relevant today. Because while we do not face persecution and plague, life still gives us difficulty. We still have struggles. But in the end, we know that Christ will set all things right. Amen.